Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning together Perek Lamed Tes, the 39th chapter in the book of Iyov. We're now coming to the close of the book, and this is the second Perek of Hashem's speech to Iyov. The general tone of the speech that Hashem is, the nevuah that Hashem is giving to Iyov, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of every aspect of nature and the world. Iyov, do you know about this? In this Perek, he turns to the kingdom of fauna, the wildlife. Iyov, do you know how much I'm involved in the runnings of this world that you can claim that I am not here, that I do not have hashgacha pratis? That's the general claim which is being espoused over here, and it's a very powerful one. Let's start at the beginning. There are 30 psukim, and he makes six basic points, each focusing on a different animal. In point one, which is the first four psukim, he talks about the mountain goat. He talks about the Yale Sela. And this remarkable animal, he describes how it gives birth. Do you know Hayodata Iyov? Do you know Ace Ledes Yale Sela? Do you know when it is that they give birth? Do you know how long their gestation period is? Do you know how they crouch on the rocks and they are able to bring to life their young in such a way that they can survive? It describes, according to the Mefarshim, how precipitous it was and how dangerous it was, the areas that they would give birth, how their wombs perhaps were shaped differently. Fascinating discussion over here. Just from National Geographic, as an addition, it is true that in the spring, the nanny goat does give birth to one or two kids, which must be on its feet within minutes of its arrival into its sparse mountain world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you know, basically, you think I haven't got it all covered. I took a vacation. Is that what you're saying? But have you given thought to the most remote of places, the most remote of issues, the most remote of animals? How do you think all that works? Who programmed all of that? He moves on to point two. Point two is from Sukkim He to Ches. In this, he talks about the domestic and wild animals. The animal he focuses on here first is the Pereh. The Pereh Chofshi, which is the wild donkey, compared to its cousin and counterpart, which is the domesticated donkey. And he describes and he really questions, why is it that I allowed one goat in its, one donkey in its nature to always seek the wilderness, to live away from settlement, to fend for itself, and the other one is a completely domesticated and helpful creature which can be used as a beast of burden. Similarly, in the third point, from Sukkim Tes to Yud Gimel, he focuses on the ox. He talks about the wild ox. Hayoveh rim ovdecho im yolin alavusecho. Will the rim, which is the wild ox, some say it might be the bison, the buffalo, will you ever get a bison to be domesticated to crouch over your food trough? Let's say you put a plowshare on the back of a bison or a buffalo. Will it ever plow for you, even if it's already in a already plowed field, so there's not too much effort? Will it ever do that? Would you allow all your work to be done by it? And the answer, obviously, in these rhetorical questions is no, because ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that the wild ox, the bison, the buffalo are always going to be wild and they will not be domesticated, whereas their cousin, the cow and the ox, are the most domesticated and helpful beasts of burden. What makes one animal conquerable and one unconquerable? What makes one domestic and one wild? Who organized all of this, Iyov? He makes his fourth point, Psukim Yud Dalad to Yud Ches. In this small section, he talks about the ostrich. The ostrich seems to be not so interested in her young. She is a flightless bird, and she lays her eggs on the ground. And this is not just out of practicality, but it seems that the ostrich has very little attention for her eggs. People can trample them underfoot, and the ostrich isn't so caring. In fact, even when the young are born, the ostrich doesn't pay too much attention to her young. And the point that seems to be made here, the Malbim actually adds, the naturalists say that the ostrich would sometimes leave an extra egg that was not hers next to her eggs that would serve as food. It would rot and the chicks would eat it, but in a certain very passive way, looking after her young rather than necessarily actively looking after her young. And the question is, what is the point of this section? So the Malbim explains that Hashem gives Hashkocha that the ostrich has many eggs. So the species will survive even though it is missing care for its young. So the numbers will ultimately even out based on the fact that it doesn't have so much care for its young. Also, there seems to be a contrast in this section to the chasida, the heron, which lays its eggs in a safe place, which has fewer eggs, but it by nature is chasida, is more kind. And the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, stewards both of these different species into existence and continuation. Then we move on to point five. Point five is focused upon the horse. Hasitain lasus kvuro hasalbish tzavoroi ramo. It talks about the beauty of the horse that can be domesticated and used. It has power, it has speed, it has presence. He describes its fearlessness as it charges into battle head first among the rain of arrows. And if you think about this, I mean, this is not simply a tank. This is not a jeep that you can drive just by pushing the pedal. This is a live, thinking creature which has immense courage as it charges into the most dangerous of situations for almost all of human history. Even today, the police still use horses. The horse is one of the most magnificent creatures. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I can make a general in 5 minutes, but a good horse is hard to replace." And this is what's been described in this section. The Malbim explains the Hashkocha of Hashem to provide such a beast for human beings to use. And finally, the sixth and last section and focus in this perek is Psukim Chavav to Lamed. In this section, he focuses on birds. It seems to be he's talking about the eagles and birds of prey. He asks, who sets the homing beacon for the animals migration, for these birds about migration? Ki Yifros Kanofov Lesemon, that he turns southwards to fly. Who programs the eagle to make their nests on high and in areas where there is carrion to be found to provide for it? Just a fascinating couple migration facts. 4,000 species of birds are regular migrants, which is about 40% of the total birds in the world. An interesting point is that there are certain birds that can fly more than 49,000 miles a year, the black-capped and red-billed birds. That means to say that a round trip between the breeding grounds in the Arctic and the Antarctic, where they spend their winters, that means to say, over a lifespan of 30 years, the flights can add up to equivalent of 3 trips to the moon and back. Just imagine that. That's all pre-programmed. This is the end of the perek. And the question HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, the rhetorical question is, Eov, do you understand how this works? Eov, did you know I was looking after all of these details? Eov, before you make accusations about the Hashkocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understand and have the humility to understand the workings of the natural world around you. With this, we conclude our parak. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.